You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
You have your Bibles. I have much to say with very little time, so if I have your Bibles, would you please go with me to the book of the Gospel of Matthew. And we'd be in chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verses 5 through 9. In the book of Matthew, 5 through 9. Something I did not do that I want to do that I like to do before I begin to pray, and that's to thank my wonderful pastor, Pastor Twyman, for this preaching opportunity. I thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come forth and to bring a word from God's word, and I thank you for allowing me to come forth with that. Thank you, Pastor, very much. I love you. If you have the book of Matthew, chapter 6 in the New Testament, the very first book of the New Testament is Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, Jesus says, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. And then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating themselves over and over again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask Him. Amen. May God add a special reading to the blessing to the reading of His holy word. Amen. How often do you pray? Do you pray in the morning? Do you pray in the evening? Do you pray when it's time to go and rest at night? Or do you pray all day, every day? Amen. My hope and my aim today is that if you do pray, that you will continue to pray and pray even more. And that if you're not a praying person, that you will begin to pray. The topic of this message today is entitled, The Blessings and Benefits of Prayer. The Blessings and Benefits of Prayer. I've come to find that the Christian life is not a playground, but a battleground. And we're in a battle every day. If we take seriously the Apostle Paul call to us to put on the whole armor of God, then you'll know we need to pray. I don't know about you, but I am so delighted that God has invited us to ask him for what we need. Okay, to put some Bible to this, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, you find it says, ask, seek, knock. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Our Heavenly Father, who already knows your need, still invites us to make our needs known to him through prayer. To be honest, we really don't really know what we need. We think we do, but we don't. Because our perspective is limited. Have you ever prayed so much that you just ran out of words? I have. I've done that quite a few times. Especially when it comes to the crisis issues of life. All I can say was, Lord, have mercy. Have you been there? Well, last thing you can say is, Lord, have mercy. Well, you get to the place and you must cry out, Father, I don't know what you want, but I do want your will to be done, even if it means my will not be done in this situation. That's why the most basic prayer to pray is, thy will be done. God knew that we would often be baffled in prayer. So he sent us the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us. He prays for us when we don't know how to pray for ourselves or others. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, I like that, because it means that I don't have to impress God or use big words or pray long prayers. I don't have to repeat myself over and over again when I pray or worry about getting all the details correct with flowery language when I pray. Since God knows us better than we know ourselves, he knows our needs better than we do. When you pray, you're not really informing God of anything. He knew before you bowed your head. Yes, the Bible tells us that he numbered the sky, the stars in the skies, the sands on every seashore, and even the hairs on your head. Now, I don't have any hair. I had some at one time, but something happened. Woke up one morning, it's gone. I had some hair. All right, well, Psalms 147 and 4 says, he even calls the stars by name. We have two services. And I may not know everyone in both services, but God does. He not only knows all the people in the church, he knows everyone attending every church everywhere in the world. But more than that, he knows the names of all the 6.8 billion people on this planet. But more than that, he knows the names of everyone who have ever lived and those who are yet to be born. Listen to the words of Psalms 139, verses 1 through 4. Listen to the words. It says, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. Oh Lord." This appears to be that total knowledge of life. Nothing you do or say surprises God. He knows your secret thoughts, your hidden motives, your unspoken dreams. He knows even what you're going to say before you even open your mouth. Now, this is a very liberating thought and a very liberating truth for the prayer life, because it means I don't have to yell or shout or try to make him understand. I don't have to go into some long explanation either. I try to not repeat myself, but I find myself at times repeating myself when I pray, and I try not to do that. Because he got the prayer the first time. To be honest about it, well, he received my prayer even before I sent it. We pray to express our deep dependence upon our Heavenly Father. Prayer is not for God's good, but for ours. And I tell you that's an amazing thought. Because God is God. He doesn't need our prayers. But we need to pray. Let me say it another way. God doesn't need the information we give him. But he encourages us to give him the information anyway. If you would allow me to give you a quick picture illustration. Try to imagine a father watching his 5-year-old daughter trying to put together a puzzle. She tries and tries, but she just can't get the pieces in the right places. Her father watches with great interest, but he doesn't interfere. Finally, she crawls in his lap and says, "Daddy, would you please help me put my puzzle together?" He smiles and bends down, and together they begin to pick up the pieces, one piece at a time, and put the puzzle together. Now, why didn't the father help the daughter earlier? Well, for one, she didn't ask for his help. And for another, he wanted her to try on her own. And when she did ask him, he was honored and gladly helped her finish the puzzle. The Bible says that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. God has his own way of dealing with each and every child of God. But because God is love, he longs to come to our aid. And at times, he may wait until you ask him specifically. He will allow us to come to the ends of our own pitiful resources before he intervenes. I have done that many times. Maybe I'm looking for something simple or trying to find something, trying to figure something out, and I try to do it my way until finally I say, "Oh, Lord, you know, I need your help. Please help me find so-and-so or locate whatever or what I'm looking for. God, help me, please." And he answers. He will allow us to come to our own pitiful resources before he intervenes. When we cry out in despair, he is honored and we can express our complete dependence upon him. While pray, we pray. Because every prayer is the cry of his children saying, Father, help, I can't do it on my own. We pray because God is honored by our persistent faith. And we all know from personal experience that not all prayers are answered the very first time we pray. If you remember the story of the widow and the unjust judge, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, the woman kept coming to the judge to plead her case. But the judge was dishonest, and he was in his own way, his own mind. And then he didn't want to be bothered. He didn't want her to bother him. He didn't want to make any time for her. But her persistence wore him out. So finally, he said, I'm going to see that this woman get justice because she's driving me crazy. Listen to the words of Jesus as he applies the story to our Heavenly Father. The Lord says, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he renders a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? I tell you, Jesus says, he will grant justice to them quickly. Now, Jesus isn't saying that God is like an unjust judge, but he is saying that if an unjust judge can be swayed by the persistence of a widow, won't God's heart be moved by the persistent prayer of his people? The answer is yes. Persistent prayer moves the heart of God because it expresses desperate dependence upon him. Sometimes it takes desperate circumstances to bring forth this kind of faith. Perhaps you heard maybe a doctor say to a patient, there's nothing I can do. It's in the hands of God now. And the patient replies, oh no, has it come to that? But you see, it always comes to that. Sooner or later. So. You see, prayer reminds us that in the end, everything depends on God and not on us. In the Bible, in the book of James, Elijah prayed that it would not rain. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain in Israel. The Bible says he prayed again and the rain fell from heaven. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You see, fervent prayer gets God's attention. Why? Because they come from a heart that believes God's power is unlimited. This doesn't mean that you need to shout when you pray, or you mean to weep or moan or sit or stand. Fervent prayer is simply prayer offered in earnest petition to God. It's not the length of the prayer or the tone of your voice. It's not whether you stand, kneel, or sit. What matters is that you really mean it when you pray. We pray. Why pray? Because he tells us to pray. He's God, we're not. We pray because all prayer is based on this simple truth that he runs the universe. We don't. We pray because he's in charge. We're not. I do believe, though, when we as God's children choose not to pray at all, it's because we've forgotten who's God and who's not. Having no prayer life means we're still trying to run the show on our own. It's a sign that says we've decided that we can handle things by ourselves. Why pray? Because God commands us to pray, which means that prayer must be for our good. Every now and then, I see a sign that says, prayer changes things. Yes. I don't know about you, but I believe that. I believe that's true. I find the first person that prayer ought to change is you. It tells us to depend completely on our Heavenly Father. Why pray if God knows everything in advance? Because God ordained that our prayers be part of his plan for his people. Our prayers really, 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 really do matter to God. It's not that God needs our prayers. He doesn't. God doesn't need our prayers. But in his kindness, he has invited us to join him in this great adventure of bringing his kingdom to this sin-sick world. It's through our prayers we connect with God in hope of changing the world. Our problem today is not with God. It's our sinful unbelief. Someone said, if God wants us to pray, how then should we pray? Well, there's many, but here's just a few that can get you started of how then should we pray. Well, the first is aggressively. We should pray aggressively because nothing is impossible with God. Secondly, we should pray fervently because the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Another is we should pray trustingly, knowing that we have a high priest who invited us to come to the throne of grace. And there is another called continually. We should pray continually because God invites us to ask and keep on asking. And oh yes, we can't forget the last, which is confidently. Confidently we should pray, knowing that the Lord will not turn us away when we call out to him. And we cannot forget about gratefully. We should pray gratefully because we have already received grace upon grace. And lastly, we should pray submissively. We should pray submissively, knowing that God understands your total situation better than you do. I'm closing. Our part is to pray fervently, sincerely, and honestly. bringing our deepest concerns to the Lord. God part is to listen to our prayers and to graciously answer them according to his own time, in his own way, and according to his own will. If we just do our part, God cannot fail to do his. If you do not know the God who loves you, God loves you very much. And God wants to hear from you. Pray often. God will always keep his promise to you. And not only because he's holy, but because Jesus Christ stood up and stepped down from his throne, stripped himself of his glory, and came down through 42 generations. Virgin born in a manger, walked this earth and did miracles upon miracles upon miracles to show and prove that he was the Son of God. Yes, he raised the dead. He healed the sick. He fed the thousands. But he didn't stop there. He went to the cross where they hung him high and stretched him wide. Where there he suffered and died. But not only that, with his last breath, he said, "It is finished." Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed in the grave 3 days. But early Sunday morning, I say early Sunday morning. Yes, early Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power over sin, death, and the grave. Yes, just like he said he would. God bless you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.